All right, we spent the first hour talking about the NBA and, of course, the U.S. Open. Joining us now to talk more about that tourney is Rex Number 7, a Golf Channel senior writer. He is all over the event. Rex Hoggard is my guest. Rex, good morning. Good to have you back. How are you, Rex?
Good, Jim. How are you?
Good, bud. Good. Great to have you on. Let me first start with by saying yesterday, going into the final round, how confident, Rex, were you that no matter what everybody else did, it was going to come down to Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson?
Yeah, no disrespect to anyone else in the field. And, you know, it is the U.S. Open and things can get a little crazy, but you always knew it was going to come down to those two. I mean, they just had the look. They've won the last two U.S. Opens. They trained together in South Florida. I mean, they compete at everything they do. And they're built for this championship. I mean, they just have resilience that you don't see in other players.
Rex Hoggard joining us. All right, so mention that relationship. You actually wrote a piece breaking it down and the rivalry between the two of them at the Joey D Golf Training Center. There's a story from a while back where Brooks mentioned that he could become world number one. What did Dustin make of that when Brooks said that?
Well, it gives you a snapshot into their relationship. And, you know, you can take it a step further. They both trained together. They worked out together Sunday morning before they set out at the U.S. Open on a Sunday in the same group together. So you get an idea how close they are. But it was a great exchange. It was a couple weeks ago, and Brooks was talking about he felt like, you know, I can be number one in the world again. And at the time, he was number 11. And DJ turns to him, and he goes, add a one to that, and you've got it right. You know, just kind of giving him the business. And Brooks shoots back and says, you know what, you can come and hang my banner for me, because I hang banners in the Joey D Center for victories and when guys get to world number one. And Dustin's comment was, not while I'm alive, I won't. And it was such a great exchange. It gives you some insight into this relationship. It's a great friendship, but beyond that, it's a great rivalry. Like I said, they compete at anything, paddleboarding, warming up on the stationary bike, working out, you name it, they compete against each other.
Rex Hoggard joining us. Rex, you did a good job of laying that out, but can you give me even more insight? For instance, how would you describe Koepka to somebody who's never met him?
I mean, he's a true athlete. And the funny thing is he had a wrist injury at the end of last year. And I think if you look at the kind of person he was, and Claude Harmon, his swing coach, said it best, he wasn't a golf nerd. He wasn't one of those guys like Rory McIlroy, for example, who spent the week before the U.S. Open up at Long Island because he wanted to play all those great golf courses up there. That's not Brooks. He doesn't watch golf on TV. He doesn't play golf for fun. It's a job for him. But when he had to miss 4 months with the wrist injury, you have an uncertain future at that point. He came back and fell in love with the game, and he got motivated again. He's always been this great specimen. You know, he's the prototype of the modern professional. He and DJ both are. But now he seems to have a passion that I don't think he had before the injury, to be quite frank with you.
I mean, you look at him, Rex. Physically, you can see what this guy's all about. But there was a point on Friday where he was 7 over, and it looked like he might miss the cut. And then he birdies 6 of his final 11 holes on Friday. He comes all the way back. So physically, you can look at this guy, and you see the way he's put together. But what does this tell you about his mental toughness, the way he battled back when it looked like he might miss the cut?
They used the quote a lot last week, said he's the most confident player out there. And when you say something like that, it's going to raise some eyebrows, right? I mean, it's testosterone, it's locker room talk, but he means it. I talked to him on Friday. He ended up getting it back. He finished with a 5 over par, on Thursday, and he wasn't bothered by it because he knew what it takes to win this championship. He knew how difficult it was going to be, and he had 3 more days to make up ground. And even going into the final round, he didn't even have a great Saturday, although not many players had a great Saturday. And he just wasn't rattled by him. And everyone looks at how far he hits the ball, and that's great. Everyone wants to talk about his length and his power, but I think it's his mind that's his most important aspect, because he simply doesn't get bothered by situations like other players.
Well, so you mentioned Saturday. I'll go back to that in a minute. But when he won at Erin Hills, the knock was it was just too easy. And even though he was a major champion, there's been this tendency to overlook him. How much does yesterday's win change all of that?
I don't want to say it validates him, because that's not fair. He was a major champion, but certainly it takes him to a whole new level. And you could see it in his eyes. Someone was talking with him and said that there's been, I'm going to get this wrong, but let's say 280 major champions in the history of golf, but only 80 two-time major champions. And Brooks' eyes lit up, and he kind of smiled at that, thinking how much of a unique category it puts him in. And I think the test has something to do with it. You mentioned, Erin Hills, he finished at 16 under. There were a lot of people who didn't think that was a proper U.S. Open. No one's going to say this about this U.S. Open. This was the demanding, grueling, difficult, impossible, whatever word you want to use, it was that kind of test.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. All right, Rex, so going back to Saturday, the expectation going in was this was going to be a more punitive U.S. Open than some of the recent ones, and there's been a pretty regular custom at the Open that the players will complain about the setup, but the complaints were even louder than usual after Saturday's round. So in your opinion, how fair were those complaints, and did the USGA lose the course on Saturday?
They did. And look, players complain. It's what we do. You know, it's taxes, it's death, it's all the things that we expect. And PGA Tour players are going to complain about golf course setup. But this was completely well-founded. I mean, on Saturday, they simply tucked some pins in some positions, given the conditions that they had and how difficult and fast the golf course was getting. And on this, Mike Davis, the CEO of the USGA, is the ultimate voice. He said it. They got it wrong, which is amazing to me, because back in 2004, they got it wrong, and Mike had promised that this wasn't going to happen again. And here we are 14 years later, and we're having the exact same conversations. It's really baffling to me.
Rex Hoggard, oh, it happened again, all right. All right, Rex, so let me ask you about Phil Mickelson. What did you think when you saw what he did on the 13th green?
I thought that my 14-year-old tried to do that a couple weeks ago when he and I were out playing, and I sat down and have a very stern conversation with him, and I couldn't believe it was happening. Because we asked a lot of players. No one thinks about doing that. I don't care if you're playing in a major championship or Jim, you and I are playing for a $2 Nassau. You're not going to do that. And it was just blown away. And I think that was part of the problem is no one had ever seen it before, and no one really knew how to react. And I still don't think that Phil has really given us an idea where his mind was at the time. I mean, did you just lose your mind and get mad with about the golf course? Was it a calculated move to try to save yourself a couple strokes? It's hard for me to wrap my mind around.
Yeah, I mean, Rex, it is. It's really hard to wrap your mind around what happened. I mean, you just said it. You're not having this from your 14-year-old son, much less a 48-year-old Hall of Famer. But he kind of did let us know where his mind was at, right? I mean, what do you make of him saying after the fact that, oh, I knew exactly what I was doing. In fact, I did it on purpose.
Phil does a lot of things. His mind works so differently than mine. I could see him thinking in that situation, okay, it's going to be two strokes, but if I bat it closer to the hole, maybe I save myself a stroke instead of letting it roll down the hill and who knows what it's going to end up in. I just can't imagine he was that quick on the draw and that he hit the putt, realized he hit it too far. And if Phil doesn't run at anything, he runs at that putt. I mean, all of those things moving so quickly, I have a hard time believing that. He did say it. And I'll take him at his word, but, man, I mean, it happened so quickly. It's just amazing to me that if that's really how his mind works, then I even have, you know, more respect for him than I did before.
Yeah, he's the smartest guy ever, if that's how that works. I'm having a hard time believing that's how that went. But you're right. It's hard to come right out and say that that's not what he had in mind because I don't know. I'm not crawling around up there, but I'm having a hard time with it. Now, your Golf Channel colleague, Justin Leonard, made the point that Mickelson didn't use the rules, but rather he broke the rules. Is that how you see it?
I do, and that was a great assessment. And I guess I have a twofold issue with that. One, the rule needs to be changed, because had he just stopped the ball, he would have been DQ'd. But instead, in his own words, he tried to bat it closer to the hole, thinking he would make the next putt, and that's just a two-stroke penalty. There's a lot of silly rules in golf. That one qualifies as one, and I've seen players before use the rules to their advantage. Take drops that give them better angles to the hole. Take drops because of immovable objects. Whatever the case may be, that we can understand. That, I think, is acceptable. This time, it just didn't seem to register because Justin was right. He actually broke the rule, and I think everyone has a hard time with the rule as it is.
All right, so if he broke the rule, should he have been DQ'd for that?
No, and I do think I will give the USGA credit on this front because they got it right. He did break the rule, but they applied it properly. Like I said, had he just stopped the ball, that would have been a DQ. But because he batted it closer to the hole, that's only a two-stroke penalty.
You know, I get it, Rex. I mean, I understand that those are the rules, but it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, hard for me to imagine, but I'm just going to ask the question. Could you see any scenario in the future where other players might do what Mickelson did on 13 and then point to the fact that he was not disqualified, so neither should they be?
I hope not, and I think that's the concern everyone has right now, and I'd like to think the USGA and the RNA, who does the rules in the rest of the world outside of the United States, are having meetings as we speak, trying to figure out how to keep this from happening, because that's a bad look for golf. And look, like I said, there's some silly rules, and that sometimes golf comes off not looking very good. But man, it's just that if you start having players doing that, thinking they're going to save themselves strokes, I mean, that is by definition cheating. No one wants to see that.
Rex Harger, my guest. All right, Rex, we're about a month out. A month and a day, in fact, from the first round at Carnoustie. I know it's early, but what thoughts do you have about the Open Championship and who the course might favor?
Well, I think when you look at that golf course, it's probably the hardest in the Open rotation, and we've seen it time and time again. The champions there, they don't have to trick it up. We won't be talking about green speeds or the golf course getting away from them there. But you have to look at the guys who are on form right now. I mean, certainly Dustin Johnson, the way he played last week, convincing four-stroke victory the week before. All of those things kind of factor in. You'd have to look at those two guys. But I actually think that, you know, we're going to see a European kind of get back in the mix. I would fully expect a guy like a Rory McIlroy, who's played well at the Open before. He's played well at Carnoustie. He knows how to play in the wind. I would think he would end up having a good week.
He is a Golf Channel senior writer, and he is Rex number 7. Rex Harger, my guest. Rex, so good to have you back. Really appreciate that. Let's be sure to do it again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate having you on.
Thank you, Rex. Always great having you on this show. Rex Hoggard. All right, so again, the rule. You know, if you stop the ball, that's a DQ. But if you putt a moving ball, it's only a two-stroke penalty. And again, that is the rule.